Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Stand with me as we read God's word together. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know also how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house today. We recognize and honor your presence in this place. And we pray that in these moments we can make our hearts and our minds holy ground. And that you would penetrate our hearts with your truth and give us understanding in our minds that we may apply your truth to wisdom in our hearts and lives. We pray that we would meet with you here in this place and that you would be glorified by what is done, by what we experience. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are in the Sunday School series entitled Priceless. And I've been preaching along those same themes this month. The first Sunday of the month, we looked at being called to be God's children. And then we had our Christmas cantata. And then last week, we looked at being saved by God's Son. And this week, we're going to look at being strengthened by God's presence. It was just a couple of weeks ago, the foundation was laid for this building. Concrete was poured in. But before the concrete was poured, there was metal that was placed inside, laid on the ground before the concrete was poured around it. There were steel rods placed down so those concrete piers could be poured. There were vertical steel and there was horizontal steel. And the reason they put the steel in the concrete is because when stress and pressure comes on the concrete, if it does not have the steel inside of the concrete will begin to crumble and decay and crack and will not provide a proper foundation. It will become unstable. Unstable ground upon which the building would sit. And I want to say to you today that God is our iron. He is our steel to strengthen our lives in the shifting soil of our day. He is the solid rock, the solid foundation upon which we can build our lives and face the storms of life that come our way. When we look at this passage today, Paul knew a little bit about those storms. He writes to the Philippians at the end of his life. This is one of those letters we call a prison epistle or a prison letter. He wrote it while he was in jail in Rome. And he writes while he's in Rome to this church at Philippi, a church that he helped establish during his first missionary journey, revisited his second missionary journey. And at this time, he has seen great hardships in his life. And he writes to a church that is near and dear to his heart. Probably of all the letters that Paul wrote to churches, the Philippian church is the one that he's most tender towards. And he encourages them, knowing that they too will see the hardships that he has seen. And he gives them these encouraging words. And there's basically two truths I want to point out this morning. Paul writes, first of all, that God's presence gives us peace. God's presence gives us peace. Remember, Paul is writing from a jail cell, and he reminds the Philippian Christians to focus and meditate on good and godly things. Look at the verses we read, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord when you get a Christmas bonus. Rejoice in the Lord when you hit the lottery. Don't count on it. Rejoice in the Lord when you meet the dream boat of your life. That's not what Paul said. Paul's sitting in a Roman jail, and he says to the Philippian church, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. And no matter what your circumstances, you can discover reasons to rejoice in the Lord, and you can only do that because of God's presence in your life. He goes on in verse 6 and he says, be anxious for nothing. We would know the word worry. What makes you anxious? There's a lot of things that makes me anxious. And yet the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. My kids, my grandkids, sometimes they'll be out in the front yard of their home, and they live on a very busy street. And sometimes my grandson, he will start running towards the street, and I immediately get anxious. I get anxious. And you say, well, they have reason to be anxious. Yes. But there's something I can do about that anxiousness. I can yell at him and tell him to come back. But there are times we worry over stuff we have absolutely no control over. And the Bible says that is a sin, to worry about stuff we can't do anything about. Some of you are anxious about your job. And you have no control about whether your job is going to exist next year or not. Some of you are anxious about your retirement in the stock market, and it fluctuates up and down, and you have absolutely no control over that. Some of you are anxious about circumstances that you can do absolutely nothing about. You're anxious about the presidential election coming up. Well, you can vote, but apart from voting, there's nothing you can do about it. You need to do what you can do, and then put the rest in God's hands. Be anxious for nothing. How can you do that? It is only in God's presence that you can discover peace and learn not to worry about stuff you have no control over. And listen to what he says. Don't worry about anything, but instead let your prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what will happen as a result of that? The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension and understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, it is only the presence of God that gives you the peace of God. And the peace of God, you can't understand it. There are times that circumstances will occur in your life and it seems like your world is crumbling and you shouldn't have any peace at all. And in the midst of that, because of God's presence, He will grant you His peace in a way that no one could understand. Paul says to that church in Philippi, he says, finally, brethren, what's true, what's honorable, what's bright, what's pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. In other words, dwell on the positives. Dwell on the good things. Dwell on the godly things. Focus on those things. Where do we tend to focus? We tend to focus on the negatives. We tend to focus on all the bad stuff that could happen. We tend to focus on what might or might not happen. And it can bring us down to a point we have no peace in our heart and life. But Paul says, focus and consider and meditate on these things, these godly things, these good things. He even goes on to say in verse 9, the things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me. He said, I have been an example to you. I practice what I preach, so follow the example I set. I have learned not to worry. I have learned not to be anxious. I have learned to turn things over to God. And I'm going to encourage you, Philippians, to do the exact same thing.
And then he says this, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. God is a God of peace. Isn't that what we sing on Christmas? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Jesus Christ comes into our heart and life. Listen, there is no peace on this earth except in the hearts of those who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. In verse 9, he says, Philippian church, learn to be content in all things. Verses 11 through 12. He said, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself in. The old King James used to say, I've learned to be content whatever state I'm in. And we always thought that meant Kentucky. Whatever circumstances I'm in. You know, I've lived in Illinois, I've lived in Kentucky, I've lived in Indiana, I've lived in Texas. I've been content in all those environments. Because when God is with you, you can find contentment wherever He leads you, wherever He guides you. Those missionaries who live and serve in a dangerous place, I can tell you the peace of God has filled their hearts and minds because they know they're in the center of God's will. And if they die in the center of His will, they have peace in their hearts knowing they have done exactly what God wanted them to do. Paul says, my circumstances do not determine whether or not I have peace. He says, I have learned to be content with much. I've learned to be content with little. He said, there have been times I've been filled and there have been times I've gone hungry. He said, I've had abundance and I have suffered need. And I've discovered that Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Jesus gives me peace, even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. God's presence gives us peace. Now, it does not make sense that we can have peace when our world is crumbling around us. But when we have the Spirit of God living in us, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is the very embodiment of peace, we can experience inner peace even when the world is at war. And it seems like everything is falling apart. We can still experience God's peace. When I was pastoring in Kentucky, I had a family in our church who was expecting a child. A baby. It was not their first child. In fact, they already had several children, but they were overjoyed when they discovered they were going to have one more. And I remember walking with them through the joy of being expectant parents. And when the day came for that child to arrive, they invited me to the hospital. And they gave me the privilege as their pastor and their friend to hold their newborn child shortly after he was born. What a privilege it was to pray over him and ask God's blessings upon him. But as I held him in my arms and prayed for God's blessings upon that child and his parents, as I prayed a prayer. And I knew that in a few short days, or maybe just a few short hours, that child was going to be called home to heaven. Doctors had told the parents that that child had a defective heart and that he would not be able to survive very long. And as I prayed, my heart was broken for them. They wept, they loved, they clung to their little child. But also as I prayed, I asked for God to do something else. And God's presence moved into that room. And His glory shone from the countenance of that little infant and from the countenance of that parents. And God's presence and God's peace filled that room that in the most difficult circumstances parents could ever face, the peace of God became evident in their hearts and their home. And on more than one occasion, I asked them, I said, if you knew this was going to be outcome, would you have decided to never have another child? And they said, no, Pastor. Those few hours that God gave us with our little boy was worth it all. Only the peace of God because of the presence of God, can bring circumstances like that and give us a victory where most people would only see loss. God's presence can give us peace. And in that moment, I sensed and experienced the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. I could tell you other experiences, other times, and you probably could too, when God has moved in similar situations, in difficult situations. And I can also tell you times, the very first funeral I ever preached after I got out of seminary was an infant child whose parents didn't know Jesus. And I want to tell you, there was no peace there. There was no peace there. There was only grief. There was only torment. There was no hope from their perspective. They did not know the presence of Jesus. Therefore, they did not know the peace of God. But I want to tell you, you can be strengthened by God's presence, and His presence will give you peace. But not only will His presence give you peace, His presence will give you power. One of the verses that probably every young person has memorized in Sunday school class. How many of you have memorized it? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or who gives me strength. I can do all things. Now notice what Paul said again. Paul's conversation with the Philippians tells us that life was difficult in that Roman prison. He says, I'm thankful for the gifts that you were able to share with me. He recalled to them times he was hungry and other times he was being fed. He remembers those times of abundance and those times of need. But his statement said, regardless of the circumstances, I have learned to be content and to overcome. And then he summarizes that statement, those circumstances, by saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, the only reason he was able to look at the perspective of life that he had, the only way he was able to overcome the circumstances of that prison cell, was because Christ Jesus was living inside of him. And he said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Notice again what he did not say. He did not say, I can do all things through my own strength. Oh man, I'm Superman. I can do all things through my power, my strength. Notice he did not say, I can do some things on my own. I need to ask God for others. There's some things I don't need God for. I can take care of. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I can do some things through Christ. He said, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. Now, last time I figured all, you know what all means in Greek? All. All. The root word for strength in the original language is the word dunamis. It means power or might and strength, but it's also the root word from which we get our English word dynamite. God's power is dynamite. It is great power. It is mighty power. It is overwhelming power. Paul says, I have dynamite power through Jesus Christ. It's not a firecracker power. It's dynamite power. Jesus Christ gives me strength. His power. That same power is available to us because we have Jesus living inside of us. It was dynamite power that allowed Jesus to heal the sick. It was dynamite power that allowed Him to calm the seas, to cast out demons. It was dynamite power that enabled Jesus to feed the thousands with a few loaves of bread and a few small fish. It was dynamite power that made the blind to see and the lame to walk and the speechless to speak. It was dynamite power that raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible tells us that that same power lives in us. So it should never be in the vocabulary of a Christian. Listen to me. If you don't hear anything else I say today, it should never be in the vocabulary of a Christian. We can't do that. Well, we can't, but He can. With God, all things are possible. in Jesus, if Jesus is living in us, the only question we ever have to ask is, what does Jesus want done? And if He wants it done, my friends, it is able. We are able to do it because of His power and His strength. There is nothing impossible with God. Absolutely nothing. Because Paul said, and we should declare, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I have a clock on my desk at home. It's got one of those LED lights that's sort of a strobe light. And it pops up different messages and it goes around like this. And you can read the message as it goes around. And one of the messages I have on there, just to remind me, day after day after day, is these three simple words. God is able. God is able. And it reminds me of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. With God, nothing is impossible. That was the message He gave to Mary. How can this be? I'm carrying a son, and yet I've never known a man. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. My friends, we should never see what we are unable to do. We should see what God is able to do. We should see what God wants to do. God is able. God's presence gives us power. I read this little poem or quote. It's written by Anonymous. Anonymous has written lots and lots and lots of stuff. And I've put a few revisions of my own in it here. But listen to what it says. A football in my hands is worth about $20. A football in Peyton Manning's hands is worth about $15 million a year. It depends on whose hands it's in. A basketball in my hands is worth about $25. A basketball in the hands of LeBron James is worth about $24 million a year. It just depends on whose hands it's in. A baseball in my hands is worth about $6. A baseball in Alex Rodriguez's hands is worth more than $29 million a year. We ought to play baseball. It just depends on whose hands it's in. Tennis racket in my hands is worth about $100. Tennis racket in Venus Williams's hands is a championship winning racket worth millions. Figured you'd like that one, Jeanette. It just depends on whose hands it's in. A rod in my hands may keep a stray dog away. A rod in Moses' hand will part the mighty sea. It just depends on whose hands it's in. A slingshot in my hand is a kid's toy. A slingshot in David's hand was a mighty weapon. It just depends on whose hands it's in. Two fish and five loaves of bread in my hands is not much more than a happy meal. Two fish and five loaves of bread in Jesus' hand will feed thousands. It just depends on whose hands it's in. Nails in my hand might produce a birdhouse or a porch swing. But nails in the hands of Jesus will produce salvation for the entire world. It just depends on whose hands it's in. As you see now, it depends on whose hands it's in. So put your concerns, your worries, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, your families, and your relationships in God's hands, because it depends on whose hands it's in. Is your life in His hands? Are you committed and dedicated to Him? I conclude with this. God's presence brings us peace. God's presence gives us power. And we can trust Him. We can trust Him to see us through the most difficult of days and the most overwhelming of circumstances. I want to ask you this question. Does Jesus live in you and through you? And if not, don't you want to experience His peace, His power in your life? And we give you your heart, your life, your home to Him today. Let's pray together. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank you for this Christmas season in which we've celebrated the birth of your Son. But Jesus is not a historical figure of 2,000 years ago. He's the living Lord who lives in hearts and lives today. He lives in my heart. And many here have experienced Him and know Him to live in their heart. But there's some here today who do not know your presence, and therefore they do not understand and comprehend your peace, and they have not experienced your power. And I pray that today they would turn their heart, their life over to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.